In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Most of you probably know that I'm not Professor Quill. And for those of you who don't, for all of you to understand, he was delayed because of flight troubles and was not able to get back to town late last night. And so I, the Dean of the Chapel, get to step in. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. The answer to the question seemed so obvious and simple. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink? James and John were not only numbered among the 12 disciples of Jesus, they were among that elite group of three, Peter, James, and John, you know the drill, who had just not long before this witnessed the miraculous transfiguration of Jesus on the mountain. They were the inner circle of inner circles. If one's status within the group mattered, well then certainly this had to set them apart. And thus the request. Grant us to sit one at your right hand and one at your left. The sheer arrogance should be a warning for all of us. How often don't we find ourselves reaching what seems to be the reasonable conclusion that we're deserving of some special consideration? I'm a professor of theology. I'm the president of the institution. I'm chairman of our congregation. I'm pastor of Christ Church. What is amazing is that it is but one short step from this prideful assumption to our potential downfall, as Satan slyly seeks us, leading us to demand that we receive our own place of honor, fooling us into believing that we are the masters of our own destiny. The audacity of the request that James and John put before Jesus truly becomes apparent when we consider the immediate context of this event. Because in the incident that precedes our text, precedes this request they make, Jesus has just given yet a third prediction of his suffering and death. Imagine the segue. I'm going to suffer and die, Jesus says, to which James and John reply, Master, we have a favor to ask. Give us a place of honor in your kingdom. Were they not listening? Or was it more likely the case that they didn't want to hear what was being spoken? The response that Jesus gave to the request shows just how determined he was to keep the conversation on his terms. True, he does chastise them to a point, but why, it's a soft one. You don't know what you're asking. How many times has a parent said that to a child? Of course, it went right over their heads. But it's where he takes the conversation next that has such profound implications, not only for those two disciples or the other 10 listening in, who later become indignant themselves that these two guys would be so audacious, but implications for you and for me as well. When James and John foolishly gave their answer, we are able to drink your cup, Jesus turns the tables on them. The cup, of course, he refers to is the cup of suffering and death that he had just predicted he would endure. The cup of wrath that stood in judgment against all mankind for our utter apostasy. The cup that he drained completely as he hung in naked shame on the cross. Yes, Jesus says, you will drink from that cup. Today we celebrate the festival of St. James the Elder. The elder distinguishes him from the other James. As we heard in our first reading, he was among the first, he was actually the first among the 12 disciples to suffer martyrdom for the name of Christ. Indeed, he is the only of the disciples among the 12 whose death is described because of his faithfulness. As he found himself the target of Herod's violent seizing of Christians, there can be little doubt that he, in his last moments, recalled the words of Jesus, that he would indeed drink from the cup of Jesus' suffering. It cannot be otherwise for the children of God, for as Jesus warned, the world will hate those who follow him because truly the world hates Jesus. And so it has been through the ages, whether at the hands of despots like Herod or religious leaders like those who covered their ears because they didn't want to hear another word from Stephen before they rushed upon him to take him out and stone him. The world hates this master. And so it will hate us and our proclamation. Clearly, in our own time, we're beginning to see the truth in that statement, with Christians targeted, sometimes subtly and not sometimes very subtly. But we really shouldn't be surprised at this, and neither should we be alarmed. For the truth really can be known only when it calls out falsehood, and the two stand in stark opposition. Hence the call to faithfulness that our Lord bids us to follow, confessing the truth concerning all that he has taught and delivered to us. It truly is a gift of God that he has placed us within a fellowship that still desires to remain faithful to our Lord's calling, even to be at an institution like this, where the truth is unabashedly taught, and members of a church body that continues to strive at holding firm in the face of unyielding pressures to water down the truth, to forsake the truth, to conform to the world and its ways. The concluding words of Jesus in our gospel point us yet again to the ways of God, which certainly are not the ways of the world, as Jesus calls us to abandon all thoughts of power and prestige. It's not the exercise of authority that we seek, after all, but rather to follow the path that Jesus trod. He became the servant of all as he offered himself up for the life of the world, seeking not glory and fame, but suffering and death, that he might serve you. That, Jesus says, is how it is to be among us. The first shall be last, the greatest the least, not master, but slave of all. Give thanks to God for such mercy, that he who does exercise all authority in heaven and on earth, given to him by his Father, that he would choose the way of suffering, the way of the cross, and thus serve us and all mankind to bring life, healing, and salvation. And let the thanksgiving continue as we now drink from his cup, not of woe, but of salvation, as the servant of all serves us yet again with his life-giving gifts. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.